G'day everyone, this is episode 18 of AT3 and we are your Aussie Top 3. That's right, AT3 is legal now, so watch out, because for this episode we are taking a look at some of wrestling's worst ever factions. My name is Greg, your Captain Boomerang, and here to help me choose some awful, awful stables, as always, I'm joined by my fellow Aussies, Little Sherby, Stacey Herbert, and the Stinger, Steve Ray. Welcome back to AT3, guys.
It feels good to be able to legally start drinking.
Yes.
It certainly does.
That's right. Suck it, America. It's 18 down here, not 21.
Yeah.
Not that it ever stopped them before.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
No.
Well, I know I never had any alcohol before I was 18, probably like you, Steve.
No. No, wink, me wink. Neither. Nope, never.
We were good boys. That's right.
Yep, extremely good.
Not like Stacey, she was on the goon.
Well, actually,
goon of fortune.
I do have taste.
Yep, there you go.
You ever done the old goon of fortune, the goon bag on the clothesline and spin the clothesline around wherever it lands?
Surprisingly not, but I have been one to witness a few goon of fortune games in my time.
Every American now is now Googling passion pop and goon bags.
Yeah. Try it, ladies and gentlemen. It's fun.
That's right. AT3 recommends. But like we said, we're looking at the worst ever factions wrestling has ever put up tonight.
And just a preference that we did have to actually have a few beers to do this topic. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
Well, we can now. We're allowed. It's fine.
That's right. Exactly.
But as always, Stacey, we go to the ladies first. So who have you chosen for the first of many awful factions?
Yeah. So I have a feeling that at least one of you will have this pick, because it was a real standout for me as far as terrible factions go, and it is X Factor.
Oh, yep. Bloody oath. Yep, there that's my is. Number one pick.
I didn't pick it because I knew someone would, so.
It's probably the worst faction of all time.
It's truly awful. And for anyone who's not familiar with X Factor, maybe some younger listeners, X Factor was made up of X-Pac, Albert, and Justin Credible. And it goes to show kind of the star factor of this group, that that X-Pac was like the leader. Like, he was the face of this group. And that says something a lot. That says a lot about this stable.
Yeah, he was the star.
He was the star. The teaming just doesn't fit. It's as if someone, you know how you can, like, I don't know if you guys have played The Sims before, but you can select, like, create a sim, like a randomized version, and it will just select its face, its clothes, and it just doesn't match. This is like the create a sim randomized version of create a stable. They just don't fit. They have no chemistry together. As if that's not bad enough, Uncle Cracker sang their theme song. And it sounds like two different genres in one song. If you haven't heard X Factor's theme, I strongly urge you to go listen to it, because if anything, it is hilarious.
I was going to say, the worst thing about them was the music. Yeah. Like,
it was awful.
As soon as they came out, it was like, oh, you just heard them and you were like, oh, for fuck's sake.
It's just ridiculous. So bad.
Another thing I found hilarious was when I was reading up on X Factor, any details I might have missed, Wikipedia noted that their biggest win as a faction was on an episode of Sunday Night Heat against Grandmaster Sexy and Steve Blackman.
Oh my god.
That awesome. Is their biggest triumph as a faction in 6 months.
I just don't the thing with that faction or that X Factor thing is just like, I don't know what the like the goal could have ever been, apart from just
yeah.
Like I could almost understand it if it was just X-Pac and he had Albert with him as just like a heavy, you know, like the sort of Shawn Michaels Diesel, like, you know, everybody's yep. done it. They've yep. had, you know, the bodyguard and that sort of thing. But like, or you know, like Kane, when he was with X-Pac, you know, like X-Pac was the little high flyer and do all the exciting moves and stuff. And then Kane was your powerhouse. So, you know, you get the hot tag and all that kind of stuff. And so for heels, all right, maybe, but then like just incredible, like he sucks. He
well, was, the whole thing with just incredible being in that group was him and Sean Waltman are good friends in real life. So I think it was more of a fact, let's put the mates together. He's not doing anything. But the one thing I think that saved us from this faction was the invasion, because we didn't have to put up with it for too long, really.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
But it was still long enough.
Yeah.
6 months yeah. too long.
It's almost like Waltman's gone to Vince or whoever, you know, who was yeah. whoever was there at the time.
Yeah, it's probably Hunter.
Yeah, and just been like, well, it worked for Scott and Kev. Like, so, you know, but Justin and I, we'll be the tag team. Like, fuck, righto, whatever. It was just, yeah, shit. And it wasn't even a case of like they were so awful and people booed them so much. Like it wasn't like Vicky Guerrero heat, where it was, you know, a lot of it was go away heat for a while. I mean, it was with X-Pac, because obviously that's where the X-Pac heat comes from. But like they didn't even use it to be like, oh man, people hate X-Factor. So like whoever we put them against will be over and cheered like nothing else, because it's everybody wants to see the X Factor group get the shit punched out of them. But like they didn't even really do that, like you said, Stacey, they just like were fighting like Steve Blackman on heat and shit like that.
Yeah
So it wasn't even like, oh, these guys are heat magnets, so when, you know, Rey Mysterio or someone beats them up, like or anyone like that, it's just like, oh Christ. I mean, that was Mysterio wasn't there at the time, but like for lack of a better guess, you know. But it just, yeah, it didn't make sense to me at all, apart from being just terrible. But yeah,
yeah, people just didn't care.
I think X Factor is on everybody's list. Like, as far as anyone, just when they see the title of this episode, everyone's probably going to be like X Factor.
It's going to be the first thing. Yeah. The whole thing just didn't make sense. Like there was no rhyme or reason behind it. And I think that just showed with the fact that their biggest accomplishment was on Sunday Night Heat.
Yes. Yeah. Well, exactly. And like I said, the only reason I didn't have them in my list, because I was like, for sure, it was the first one I wrote down. And I'm like, oh, Steve or Stacey or both will have this. So, I'll go a different way, but yeah, definitely deserving of their shittiness.
Oh, fuck.
And just the music.
If we ever do like a top three worst theme songs, I think this song will make reappearance. This team will make a reappearance.
That whole episode will just be their theme song. That's all it will be. Welcome to 83, and then just X Factor music for 20 minutes, and then that'll be it.
It will be an hour long of us breaking down why X Factor's theme by Uncle Cracker is a piece of shit.
Yep, line by line, line by line analysis. Oh, shit. That'll be the April Fool's Day one. We could do that.
Yeah, we'll have to get Adam Hess on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll love it. Yeah. Well, I'll jump in next, Steve. And
yeah, you go, because as you said, that's exactly the same.
I'm gonna go back to WCW and
don't have another one of mine, please.
Yeah, it might be. I got a couple from WCW because I like the old WCW, but they had a lot of shit as well. I'm going with the group that I chose because this idea should have worked, but then it just became awful and a joke and terrible, and that was the Misfits in Action.
So, I don't have it, but I can totally understand why.
Yeah. So Stace, I know you're not hugely aware of a lot of WCW stuff, but
yep,
you know who Hugh Morris is, right? Obviously. And
yes, of course. Some of
those other characters. Well. Obviously, Chavo Guerrero, you know him.
Yeah.
What happened in the middle of the Millionaires Club v. New Blood feud? They sort of formed this third faction that was sort of not one or the other, and they were kind of a neutral party, and they would sort of fight everyone and things like that. And it came about, and it was Hugh Morris, Van Hammer, of all people, Lash LaRue, Chavo Guerrero, The Wall, who had been with Alex Wright when he was doing his Berlin character. So like, oh, get it, Berlin and The Wall. Yeah, okay, Wall. Whatever. It's this brick shit house of a dude. And originally Booker T as well. But the problem with the faction is the whole thing was a stable of puns. So it's... They're the misfits in action. So they're MIA. It's like, oh yeah, get it. The guys we don't really use a lot. They're missing in action. Okay, cool. Then Hugh Morris comes out and is like, I don't want to be Hugh Morris anymore. I'm going to go by my real name, which is Hugh G. Rection.
Jeez.
Van Hammer was Private Stash. But then it quickly changed to Major Stash because apparently Van Hammer thought he should have a higher rank, which proves that Van Hammer is so dumb. He doesn't even understand the joke behind the Private Stash name. Lash LaRue was Corporal Cajun. Chavo Guerrero Jr. was Lieutenant Loco because Mexicans are crazy, according to WCW. And the highly original change from The Wall, he became Sergeant AWOL, or AWOL, however you want to pronounce it. Like, fuck me. And then Booker T comes out and joins him, and he's got all like, what do you call it, like camouflage paint on his face, and he's wearing the camo gear, you know, the green and all that. And now he's G.I. Bro. I was like,
Christ.
Fuck.
It's because he's black. That's why, right?
Yeah. And it was like, okay. So now Booker T, he didn't last long with the group, to be fair. He must have just been like, yeah, fuck this. I'm out. He was originally like the leader of the group, and then he bailed and went back to being Booker T in about 2 or 3 weeks. And then, yeah, Hugh Morris, or Hugh G. Rection, took over as the leader, and they sort of feuded with a few people.
Oh god.
Like the Filthy Animals, the Rey Mysterio and Kidman, and now feud. Major feud they had was with like the WCW version of Team Canada, which was Lance Storm, Mike Awesome, Hacksaw Jim Duggan for some reason.
Didn't Elix. He lose a match or something and had to become Canadian or something?
Yeah, and Elix Skipper. And I think the only Canadian in Team Canada was Lance Storm. So
Lance Storm.
Because I don't think Mike Awesome was Canadian, but I could be wrong.
Elix Skipper was, but I'm not sure about Mike Awesome. Yeah. He was in Team Canada in TNA as well. So I'm assuming that.
Oh, well, there you go.
He actually was, yeah.
Yeah. So it was just a shit show all around. I mean, they did have one thing that was decent. Like Major Guns was all right, I thought.
Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I would have liked to have put my finger on it. But
I think there was two reasons why she did well.
Yeah. But so apart from her character, which I thought, you know, that was all right. But yeah, the rest of it was just a big crock of shit. So, but it should have worked because you have these guys that were finally the talent sort of
was,
like underrated, underused guys, and they could finally sort of be put in matches and things like that against the other groups. And the other groups were people like, you know, Jeff Jarrett, Shane Douglas, Buff Bagwell, you know, these sorts of guys, Scott Steiner. That was the new blood. And then the Millionaires Club was all the big names, you know, Hogan, Flair, Sting, Nash, you know, all that. So they could have done something, but just as soon as they come out and they're like, I'm Private Stash and I'm fucking huge G-rection and all this fucking like, my name's Fat Dick. Like, that's what he should have just been. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it was just ridiculous. So Yeah, I'd well, go it
sort
with
of
that.
Makes sense after what happens in the performance center, that, you know, later on in life.
Yeah, well, that's right. It was a chilling look at things to come. But yeah, but I had to go with them, not only because it was sort of dumb and stupid and that, but just the fact, like, the wasted potential of it, I think, as well. I mean, they were never going to be like Evolution or DX or something, but I mean, it had potential to actually make a few stars. Like, they could have, like, especially like Hugh Morris could have been a bigger star than he was. Not a lot bigger, I don't think, yeah, but he deserved better than being, you know, huge erection. Van Hammer was a huge guy, like, in the right circumstances. At least he's a big dude, you know. Lash LaRue had talent. Chavo Guerrero, we know how good he was. And if they'd done it right, maybe they could have stuck with it with Booker T, if he'd just been Booker T, not this GI Bro bullshit. So I don't know. Like, they just needed, and even just being the Misfits in Action, like, that's not a bad name if you don't draw attention to the fact that it's MIA and the puns and just, yeah. And that just became like the whole thing just broke down to, like, every week they'd all turn up and just be like frothing over Major Guns and being like, oh, she's so hot. And it's like, fuck, righto, whatever. Like, just, yeah. I don't know. I don't like to give Russo a lot of shit because, I mean, I think it's, some of it's valid and a lot of it isn't. But I mean, this, I don't see how this was not anything more than a joke from the start. Like, how did he expect this to work or for them to get over with just the names alone? So
I think so. Yeah, that's right. If it had have just been that stable and their names, I think it probably would have been okay. But yeah, giving them those stupid nicknamed, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, like, if it was, especially since they pushed Booker T around that time then as well, and that's when he got the world title and stuff, so he could have then had, like, world champion Booker T with his Misfits stable with Hugh Morris and Lash LaRue and Chavo and that sort of thing. Like, they'd be a good tag team together, you know. They could have had the tag belts. You could have sort of pushed them a bit more and maybe made a bigger star out of them. Or Hugh Morris gets upset, turns heel on Booker T. You know, there's so many things you could do. But, like, you know, and again, I'm not saying it would have been this, like, amazing thing that they squandered. But from the start, it was just dumb. So,
yeah, totally agree. So, kids, don't waste your time going back looking at that stuff. It's not worth it.
Yeah, don't type Hugh G-rection into Google.
No, type that into Google and see what comes up.
See what happens, yeah.
See what happens.
See, that's why this is episode 18.
Because that's right, we're allowed to talk like this now.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, shit. So, all righty, so that was my first pick, good old Misfits.
I think this WCW around that time were clutching at straws anyway. So I think it really just, you know, they were just trying.
Yeah, true. Although that was once they hit, like, the rest of that at the time, the Millionaires Club and the New Blood, like, when it started, it was pretty hot. It was going pretty well, I thought. And then it just sort of fell off a cliff pretty quick. But so at the time, to have a third faction of sort of neutral guys that weren't sort of, they were the young guys, but they weren't heels like the rest of the New Blood. So you could still you could have good heel face matchups with the younger guys. So it wasn't like a young guy as a heel up against, you know, Hogan, Flair, DDP, Sid, you know, the guys that I mean, DDP's unfair to, because he could still put on matches at that time, but like Hogan and Flair and that, was like, we're not going to get a lot out of them. So you could have, you know, Booker T versus Scott Steiner and stuff like that, but not having to be part of the New Blood. But it just,
Isn't that when they had Kidman versus Hogan, or was that was before that?
Yeah, it was around that time. Yeah, that was part of it. He was, Kidman was part of the New Blood, and Hogan was the Millionaires Club, and that's when you had Flair and Shane Douglas, and
that's right,
Sting and Vampiro and all that sort of stuff. They were going against each other. So
yeah.
Yeah, and David Arquette ended up with the title. So.
That was awesome. Yeah.
But what else have you got, Steve, for your awful factions?
Awful factions? Well, the one that I'd completely forgotten about until I was doing my research for this, and it's probably, I forgot about it because they weren't really around too long. But back in 98, 99, the corporation formed. And when they decided to join with the ministry, there was a few people that were kicked out of the corporation or left for various reasons.
Oh, I know.
And they came back and decided to create a faction called the Union.
Yep.
It was just the most ridiculous thing ever. And you look at the people that were in it, Mankind, Ken Shamrock, Big Show, and Test.
Yep.
They would come out carrying boards as signs, you know, of unity. They just, it just made, like, if they were just to come out and come out and beat the shit down on the corporation, fine. But to come out and call yourselves a union because they were done wrong, that's just fucking stupid. It wasn't even good to watch.
Yeah. It's probably all just so Vince McMahon could be like, see, unions are shit. you don't need a union in wrestling.
Yeah. But that only lasted a little while. It was a major flop. And, you know, I think, Greg, you know why. I don't know if Stacey saw it, but.
Yeah, I completely forgot all about this. And it's like, unlike a few other teams that we could mention, like there was some actual star power in this team. Yeah. But, yeah, like the fact it's still flopped, it's like, well, if Mankind alone can't save it, then who can?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he's not really the sort of guy to put in a group, really, is he? Like Mankind, it's
no.
I know he was in the corporation and stuff as sort of like for a bit and things like that, but like
sort of kinda.
Yeah, it wasn't the same as he was just sort of a guy that was around, like trying to please Vince McMahon and stuff like that. And then of course when they got the opportunity to ditch him, they did, and it turned him face and all that. So, but. Yeah, Big Show, Test, Ken Shamrock. It's like all guys that were sort of should have been. I mean, hard to rag on Big Show. It did end up being a fairly big star, but like,
yeah,
I don't think he ever reached his true potential of what, you know, like the stardom he could have had. And same with Test and Shamrock and those guys, like, you know, decent enough, but like it was never. Again, it's a bit like X Factor, but not as bad. But a bit like, well, where was this going? Like,
yeah, you know, so. That's right. If I was Test, I'd still be pissed off about Triple H stealing my fiance. Come on,
yeah.
Why would you let that go?
Yeah. So, okay, oh well, poor Test. But,
yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. That's definitely up there. I think just from the. That seems to be like a real, you know how they talk about, like, I don't know, I haven't listened to it for a while, but on, you know, Pritchard's podcast and stuff, and Conrad will quite often be like, is this a rib? Is that a rib? And it's like, that seems like it's just a big joke. Like, not so much on Mankind or Test or anyone, but just on the idea of like, ha, 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 like there's three people out the back laughing at the fact that the union is shit. You know, because to them it means something completely different. But
it's probably Vince, Pat, and Jerry that were laughing as well.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, so they should have brought Jesse Ventura in if they were going to do it, and have him as their spokesperson, and then you'd have some entertaining shit going because he'd go nuts. So.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I completely forgot about it until I started doing my research, but it's something that as soon as I saw it, I'm like, yep, that has to be in there.
Yeah.
Did they ever reveal why they carried boards?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to find anything as to why.
I'm just looking back at it now and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Was it, I can't remember now. Didn't they have like 4x4 kind of things? Like, or 2x4s like Hacksaw Jim Duggan? Didn't they come out with that?
Yeah.
Like, so you couldn't pick a steel chair, or like there's so many other things to pick from.
Well, if anything, they should have come out with like protest signs or something.
Or,
you know,
placards.
Like,
yeah, like exactly.
Picket signs, you know, when do we want it now? All that kind of shit. Like, they're the union. That's what unions do. They go on strike. So like, and that picket lines and all this sort of stuff, and it's just, we've got wooden boards. Okay.
Just another one that felt like, you know, people were just thrown together because they had nothing else for them, I guess.
Yeah.
And just didn't work at all.
Just another way to make the evil Vince McMahon character look even more evil, you know. Now this corporation is crushing the union and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
which right. I could see in theory that could kind of work, because like your blue collar workers and shit sitting there watching it being like, yeah, fuck this, you know, like went without Stone Cold around at the time, you know, like it was a bit, didn't have that sort of working man against the businessman kind of thing. So
yeah, true.
But they just, yeah, they needed, I mean, Foley was good on the mic, but they needed someone else there to be kind of a bit more charismatic and carry it, I think. But anyway, yeah, that's a good pick, I think, Steve, because yeah, it's one of those ones like in that, especially for a faction to come out at that time when you had a lot of good wrestling factions in that 98, 99, you know, you had DX and then NWO and things like that going on all around the place. And then for even the corporation and the ministry and all that sort of stuff. And then for this to be in that, like lumped into that attitude era, stable sort of notion. It's like, yeah. Not great.
No, better, no, not better, great at all.
But better than X Factor.
Yeah.
Not that is any measure of success.
No, Greg, you and right. I could rock up at IPW and jump in the ring and be a better faction than X Factor.
Yep, that's it. Book it, Josh. All right. Yeah. Stacey, let's go with who else have you got? It's not just X Factor three times, is it?
No, unfortunately not. So we're not
dealing with the X Factor anymore?
No.
Not for now. So my second pick is Mean Street Posse.
Ooh.
Yes, good choice.
I thought about them as well, yeah.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really bad. So their gimmick was that they were friends of Shane McMahon.
Yep.
That's their gimmick. They're Shane McMahon's friends. Like, and it's not just a gimmick. Two of them are actual childhood friends of Shane McMahon. They're not even wrestlers. They brought in one guy to be the worker of the group. And their whole thing was that they were from the mean streets of Connecticut. Yep. And the nothing,
toughest place on earth.
Let me tell you, nothing looks meaner than one, being besties with a millionaire's son, and two, wearing sweater vests over t-shirts. There's nothing meaner. And it's just, it was bad. Like their look and their style did not match their name at all. And they were booked to be a threat, but they just look like three guys, I don't know, like three college guys or something.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about, they look preppy. We talk a lot about the fact that you've got to be the part as well. Those guys just did not look, I know, I get their gimmick, but they just didn't look like they could slap anything, you know, they just didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they could do.
Can you remember their names? All I remember is Pete Gas.
Oh, Pete I've Gass, got it yeah. here in my notes. So it's Pete Gas, Rodney, yep. just Rodney, no yep. surname, and Johnny Abs. So Johnny Abs was the wrestler.
With a name like that, yeah, I can pick that. Yeah.
I only remember Pete Gas because I remember Test doing a promo against them one time, and it was like, yeah, the Mean Street Posse, they're nothing, like whatever the name, Rodney, you're nothing, blah blah blah, this and that, and he's like, yeah, fat ass Pete Gas. And I was like, that's pretty funny. But that's the only reason I remember Pete Gas is because Test called him fat.
Yeah, they're easily forgettable, aren't they?
Definitely. Yeah. And like, I know the idea of it behind it was meant to be like, look at these preppy guys pretending that they're tough. But after a while, though, they did try and book them as if they were a threat. And it's like, what? That's,
yeah,
no, that's not right. So, yeah, it's not, not one of the best at all. But I just think, yeah, like having Shane McMahon having his own sort of group from the streets that turned out to be garbage, like that's a good idea. But when you just start bringing in Shane's actual friends, like that's yeah. not good.
Yeah, no, they're awful.
Just awful.
Awful. It's just one of those things where it's like they're very forgettable. You don't want to even go back and watch anything they've done. Yeah. Good choice. Very good choice.
Good bad choice.
Yeah. Good bad choice.
Also better than X Factor.
Yeah. I think everything's better than X Factor.
Yeah. All righty, Steve, do you want to go next or do you want me to throw in another?
Yeah, I'll go next.
All right.
I've got one which I think they should never have done because they shouldn't have split apart the first group in the first place. I'm going with the core.
I think
they should never have split the Nexus in the first place. They had something good there. Basically, it was just another Nexus. Yeah, Wade Barrett, Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, and then Ezekiel Jackson. The only good thing to come out of the core breaking away from the Nexus was giving us CM Punk as the leader of the Nexus for that little while. But the core, it was like, why? There was no need to do it. The good talent in there, but they just didn't need to split them apart from the Nexus, I don't think. I think it was just a waste.
It just seemed like if you're gonna take the Nexus away from Wade Barrett, then there's your chance to have him just on his own as a single star. Yeah. And I mean, Wade Barrett's one of the biggest like drop balls that they've had.
Oh, massive! Yeah,
recently in the last 10, 15 years, like he should have been a much bigger star.
Well, he should have beaten Cena.
Yeah, that's right. And like the whole bad news thing, like that was awesome. Just out of nowhere, how did he not have money in the bank? It's right there. Yeah. Like he just comes out and like, I've got some bad news. I'm cashing in my money. I remember you talking
about the cherry picker.
Yeah, it's like, what the like, it's right there. Like he would come out at the worst time and be like, I've got some bad news. Oh, fuck, you know. So why not him you could have a year of that with him coming out and teasing the money in the bank thing and then, you know, cashing in on whoever was popular at the time. Like, especially when you had people like Daniel Bryan and stuff like on the rise at that time.
Very true.
But yeah.
I'm still, sorry, Grant.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, if you take Wade Barrett away from the Nexus, that's fine. But I think you needed to do either one of two things. You needed to then have either Barrett goes off on his own and just it's completely separate, or Barrett is the babyface now against Punk. Like,
yeah.
Or Punk turns the Nexus babyface and then Barrett, you know, is the heel kind of thing, you know. But like,
man, that would have been cool. Punk versus Barrett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just was like, oh, well, he'll just have Nexus Mark II. And it was shit.
Yeah. It was stupid. Really was.
Yeah, I'm still holding out hope, very little hope, that WWE will right their wrong with Wade Barrett like they did with Drew McIntyre. But I just don't know.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news, Stacey.
Bad news. I think he's just going to be a commentator from now on.
Yep.
I mean, does he have an injury that's preventing him? Because he can still go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's an injury.
Mm.
I mean, he went to Lucha Underground before they folded and he never went in the ring there, but he was only there for a couple of episodes.
Yeah, I think he was just one of those guys that was just like, this is shit. You guys aren't using me, I'm out. Like, I don't think he was so desperate to be a wrestler that he would just be a wrestler and eat shit, but just to be a wrestler, like someone like Dolph Ziggler, you know?
Yep.
Whereas like Dolph Ziggler is clearly just wants to be a wrestler so bad that like it doesn't matter what they give him and how badly they use him and mistreat his character and not push him at the right time and things like that. I mean, like his career is over. Like, let's face it. I know he's the tag champ with Bobby Roode, but like, fuck.
They haven't defended in how long? I completely forgot that they were the tag team champions, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's never going to be anything now. You know, like it's, they missed that boat. Like it was, it's not all on them. Like, Ziggler isn't this perfect wrestler that everyone likes to make him out to be sometimes. Like he's got a lot of, like, there are a lot of facets to him that needed work and stuff, but like, they had something there and they didn't do it. And Barrett's the same. Like,
yeah,
you know, he was good on the mic. He's a huge guy. Like, he was good in the ring. Like, he had a gimmick. Then they finally got him a decent gimmick after the Nexus thing finished and they didn't want to do it.
They fucked it up again.
Yeah. I mean, you could have, imagine Barrett comes back and tries to do like a hostile takeover of NXT. So you have like a Barrett faction versus a Regal faction within NXT. Like,
yeah,
those two going at it just on the mic alone would be worth watching, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, I'm with you guys with the core. It was like, well, why do I give a shit about the core? They're just like the Nexus, but shittier. And if I want to watch the Nexus, I'll just watch the Nexus because they're still around. Like,
exactly.
It wasn't like when they try to bring back the NWO or the Four Horsemen or something and it wasn't as good as it used to be. It's like, yeah, but this is what you get nowadays, you know? The Nexus was still going. It was like, that's a very
I honestly forgot the core existed. I didn't watch, there was a brief period sort of in the later 2000s where I stopped watching and this happened during it. And yeah, it says a lot, you know, how forgetful this team are.
Yeah, for sure. Well, another forgetful team will be one, Stace, that you probably didn't even realize because it's another WCW one. this one was so bad that they were meant to be the baby faces and they were booed out of the building nearly everywhere they went. Steve, do you remember the No Limit Soldiers?
Yep. I certainly can.
Yep. One of Eric Bischoff's ideas again to sort of cross promote wrestling, this time with like hip hop and rap and all that sort of thing.
Master P.
Which is not a bad idea, you know? But like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a rap hip hop guy, you know, but even like, I've never heard of Master P other than when he turned up in WCW. And
yeah, me either.
That doesn't necessarily mean a lot, but like, you know, you can name a lot of other rappers and I'll go, yep, heard of them, heard of him, heard of her, whatever, you know, but like Master P, I was like, who the fuck is that? And then he turned up and they immediately teamed him up with Conan and Rey Mysterio. And Rey Mysterio, a bit hit and miss for me, but I fucking hate Conan. He sucks. Like, he was awful, I thought, as a wrestler and this wannabe tough guy, and it just annoyed the shit out of me on a weekly basis when he would be there in the NWO Wolfpack with Nash and Sting and those guys. I'm just like, why are you hanging around with Conan? Like, he sucks. So
he was a big thing in Mexico, and he apparently could wrestle until he hurt his back. So when he was in WCW, I think he had a bad back.
Yeah, I just so that put me on the wrong side of things. And then you had Master P, who was the rapper, legit rapper guy, with Conan and Rey Mysterio, and then some other stellar names like Chase Tatum, 4x4, Swole, and if you're trying to remember exactly who they were, exactly. And then of course the other member they had in their group was BA, which, what a clever name that was, because that was just Brad Armstrong. So, RIP, but like, fuck, it's like he's not Road Dogg. So you had this terrible group and they were meant to come in and be like the baby faces against Kurt Hennig of all people. Again, I don't know why Kurt Hennig was put in a group called the West Texas Rednecks when he's not from Texas at all. He's like, he's not a Southern guy at all. But anyway, he was in the group against them and they got cheered. These the supposedly like good old boy redneck characters. They got cheered over the baby faces, and the whole thing was just a disaster.
Oh, but come on, they had a fantastic song.
Yeah.
Remember the song?
Rap is crap.
Yep. Rap is crap, yeah.
Kurt Hennig's, number one with the bullet. But I mean, come on. If you're going to go up against Kurt Hennig, he was a charismatic guy. And even when he was the heel, it was Mr. Perfect and all that stuff, like, people still kind of liked him. So now you got, like, there's No Limit Soldiers with a rapper who's not a wrestler. You know, Conan, Rey Mysterio, felt bad for him. Like, yeah. Then these other guys, Chase Tatum and Swole, well,
that
whoever the
Swole
fuck
guy, that Swole guy, he was a bodyguard for Master P who wanted to become a wrestler. So that's one reason they got Master P to do that gig, so his mate or his bodyguard would get trained and become a wrestler.
Well, there you go. But yeah,
see how well he went. Eh? He did well. He's I don't even know where he is now.
Yeah, and four by four. All right, these randoms, and just again, just it's not a bad idea to try and cross promote because Bischoff had success with it before. So like, but for every like the whole Dennis Rodman thing, like that paid off for them, in a massive way. But then. And even Jay Leno, to a degree, like a lot of people will shit on that idea, but that did bring new eyes to WCW at a time. Oh,
it brought money in for sure.
That's right. Like that angle with Leno, like actually that made money, especially at that time when WCW was on the decline already.
But you look when that angle with Leno and that angle with Rodman. Rodman was with Hogan. Leno was with DDP and Hogan. Master P was with Conan and Rey Mysterio. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, Rey Mysterio went on to become a superstar, but this was Rey Mysterio before 2002 or whatever it was when he became a superstar in WWE.
Yeah.
So it's right. Not like they were with the heavy hitters. They were with the undercard. You know?
Rey Mysterio without the mask too.
Exactly, yeah.
When one gave – he had the mask, lost the match to Kevin Nash, had to take the mask off, and now he was kind of just like Conan's little buddy. And it's like, I don't care about you anymore because your whole thing is the mask. So
that's right. And this whole that's always got me. We're going on a tangent here. That always got me, the fact that the Mexican wrestlers, their mask was their pride. It was their thing. He lost his mask, and it's like, oh well, let's go be a fake rapper now.
Yeah,
it just didn't make sense.
No,
as a we say that a lot in this episode. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, because it didn't.
Yep,
it didn't.
But yeah, so I had to go with them just because. Not only was it a faction full of just nobodies, apart from, like we said, Conan, who I didn't like anyway, and then Rey Mysterio, who I'd sort of lost interest in completely because he's not really Rey Mysterio anymore. He's just like Oscar Gonzalez or whatever his name is, like because he's not Rey Mysterio because he's not wearing the Rey Mysterio stuff. So, and then a whole bunch, and Brad Armstrong, which nobody ever gave a shit about. And then,
how did he fit into that? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's like, we need a white guy. All right.
Like, probably he's on contract. He's not doing anything. We'll throw him in there.
Someone's got to carry their bags, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, and then, yeah, like you said, I didn't realize that this Swole guy was Master P's buddy, but there you go. But and then, let's put him up against, like in WCW, which had a mostly Southern wrestling crowd, let's put him up against not only Kurt Hennig, who's like super charismatic anyway, but then Bobby Duncombe Jr. and these guys who were
Barry Windham
and stuff. Yeah, like they were popular with old school WCW fans. Like they're not going to give a shit about these rappers coming in. Of course they got cheered over the so-called baby faces. So it's not a great I love Eric Bischoff, but that was not. It was a good idea, but very poorly handled. So,
yeah.
And as factions go, pretty shit. Yeah.
Very, very shit. Yes. I totally agree.
Okay, Stacey, pick number three. All right.
Number three already. Okay, so this is a bit of a, it's by no means a new one today, but a new one of my three picks. So just to get straight to the point, it's a Spirit Squad.
Dolph gets another mention.
Hang on, did you say the Spirit Squad or the Suicide Squad? I just got a double.
Look, they're both terrible.
Okay.
But I have to go with the Spirit Squad. Well, there's
one guy in the Suicide Squad. He's all right, but yeah. But
which one?
Oh, which one is it? Is he a captain of some sort?
Yeah. He leaves, but he always comes back. Yeah. But yeah, sorry, Stacey. Spirit Squad.
Well,
Tell us how awful they are.
All right. So Spirit Squad came from, like, all you need to know is it came from the mind of Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr. Just for anyone, I'm sure everyone listening knows who the Spirit Squad is, but it's made up of Kenny, Mikey, Johnny, Mitch, and Nikki. It's a group. It is exactly what it sounds. It's a group of cheerleaders and their heels. And basically their intention is just to team up. They were almost used as like Vince McMahon's muscle at one point, which is pretty hilarious when you think about it. And at one point they were there to kind of distract Shawn Michaels with degrading cheers. And it's as bad as it sounds. I will say, look, they did work as heels. Like they were massive heat magnets, but you got to call it like it is. They were a shit faction, as shit as they come. And they're just a memorable shit faction. Let's go with that. And the thing that really just got me in stitches, I never knew this until I was researching for this show. So according to Dolph Ziggler, he revealed in an interview quite recently that WWE pitched the Spirit Squad to these guys as a modernized version of the Four Horsemen.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, my God.
I don't know how you get to that. But yeah. It's weird, the Spirit Squad, because, like, I see people... They quite often pop up on lists like this, you know, like worst factions and things like that. But all, like, you know... remember this guy? Well, he used to, you'll never believe what Dolph Ziggler used to be. You know, I mean, he was in the Spirit Squad. Yeah. People were like, really? Fuck, yeah. You know, I forgot about that. But yeah, like, I don't know how much of it is intentionally awful, or is it just, it, you know, like, how much of it is like, oh, we know you're gonna hate all this shit. So like, is it intentionally awful, or just it's so much that it just becomes cringeworthy and just, I don't know. It's a weird one, because like, it's not so bad it's good, it's just so bad it's bad. But yeah, I don't know. They did at least draw heat and stuff, I guess. So you could sort of, and it gave like the baby faces a whole bunch of people, like Triple H and Shawn Michaels, I remember, went up against them for a bit there when they were baby faced.
And they literally had shit dumped on them. So they are a shit.
Yeah. There you go. But like, it gave, you know, it gave Triple H and Shawn Michaels like a whole bunch of guys that could beat the shit out of like all at once kind of thing, and get the crowd to pop and stuff like that. So I mean, at least they kind of served a purpose. But yeah, it is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you say that, where they're like, oh, it's a modern version of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah, I fail to see that at all, actually.
Yeah. You can just see Vince McMahon just thinking, oh, you know what would be a good idea? Is a bunch of male cheerleaders. Like, it's just, he's delusional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's almost what the Mean Street Posse should have been. You know what I mean? Because at least then it's like, look at us, we're tough guys. It's like, what? Like, we're athletic cheerleaders. It's like, yeah, you're athletic, but like, you got to fight now. Like, oh no, we're not going to fight. So then the five of them, gang up on you and backstage and things like that. So, but yeah, it's It's weird. Somewhere there, there's got to be some crossover there of ideas, I reckon. Like the Mean Street Posse, maybe Shane and his buddy, like Pete Gass or whoever was his friend. Like they were cheerleaders or something, or they always wanted to be, but Vince wouldn't let them or something. I don't know. There's something going on there. I don't know.
We wanted to be a cheerleader and Vince wouldn't let him. I can see that.
Don't dark really side of the ring, the Mean Street Posse. That's, I don't want to see that in the next episode.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I want to see Dark Side of the Ring X Factor.
Yeah.
Yes. I think there is a new Dark Side of the Ring coming out soon, actually.
Yeah, there's a few.
But I don't think the X Factor made this one.
No. It's too dark. No. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, that's I it's a good pick. Like I said, I'm sort of in two minds of the Spirit Squad because I know that was shit, but I do wonder how much of it like they were meant to be shit. But
yeah,
but still, I never sort of thought, oh, good, that'll be entertaining when they came on. So it wasn't like I love to hate them. You know, it was just like, oh yeah, here they come again. You know,
yeah, that's it.
Like who are they up against? Oh, all right, cool. So, yeah, good old Spirit Squad. Well, I'll go with my third one, Steve, and then you can bring us home.
Well, I've technically had three, haven't I?
I suppose you had X Factor as well. Yeah,
yeah. That's right. But I got one more. I'll throw in.
All right, we can do that.
Unless you want to pick X Factor again.
That's what I was going to do. No.
I'm gonna go. It's like this one's not so much that the faction itself was bad, but just the way that it completely, in my opinion, fell apart, and the end result was the opposite of probably what should have happened. And I'm going with the Legacy because I know how much you love Randy Orton, Stacey, but
he's my favorite.
Yeah.
Hey, side note, did you notice that Randy Orton and Edge wore the same sort of tights at WrestleMania? Check it out.
Oh, yeah, they did.
No. Yeah. Oh, I was too busy laughing at The Fiend.
Oh, that's fucking stupid, honestly. Absolutely ridiculous.
I just wanted...
I liked your tweet. End it now. It's fine.
Oh, I just wanted to find our episode of Most Overrated that we did and just be like, see, Bray Wyatt, he sucks.
Yeah,
all that build up, he was away for months building all the story, rocks up, one RKO, see you later,
bye bye.
Yep.
Done.
So at least maybe they could salvage something with Alexa, but because it looks like
she's looking on like Raw, the biggest star right now.
Yeah
so maybe, she did some promo on Raw too that I've got to check out.
I was just laughing. I was like, yeah, that loss to Goldberg doesn't look so bad now, does it? I mean, it does, but still, fuck it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But yeah, so the Legacy with obviously three, you know, multi-generational stars. You got Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, and Ted DiBiase Jr. I don't know if they ever called him Jr., but I did. Because I know Vince hates everyone junior. That's why they get rid of it. Because he is a junior and he hates it. So that's why it's not Rey Mysterio Jr. or Chavo Guerrero Jr. It's like, get rid of it. So
yeah,
he's basically Indiana Jones. Like, don't call me junior. But you got Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase. They go on these rampages and they had all these feuds with people and stuff. And you could tell the idea was slowly Randy Orton started treating them worse and worse and worse. And they would rise up against him, you know, a bit like sort of the Evolution formula, you know, how like a Triple H would use these guys to get what he wanted. And then eventually they were like, oh, fuck you. And they turn against him and now they're baby faces and ta-da, you've got new stars. But like fucking charisma vacuum, Ted DiBiase and fucking Fig Jam, Cody Rhodes just fucked it all up.
Your favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Greg's like, favorite.
Well, yep. It came down to the fact where, okay, they're going to have a triple threat match at WrestleMania between the three of them. And it was no secret, like Cody Rhodes and DiBiase, they're clearly going to like team up on against Randy Orton, and it was like, this is our chance to show everyone that we're not under his thumb anymore, and we're just as good as he is and all this. And like, the crowd cheered for Orton the whole time, and Orton came out of that whole feud as the babyface, and Cody Rhodes ended up getting like shit on, so they ended up with like the mask gimmick, handing out, you know, paper bags to people and stuff, which, to be fair, was pretty good. I thought that was all right. And then Ted DiBiase, even Maurice couldn't save Ted DiBiase. That's how fucking boring he is. Like, oh, Maurice is on TV and she's with Ted DiBiase. Click. Like, I don't care. Like, people wouldn't even sit through his segments to just look at Maurice. Like, it's just amazing to me that, like, the Million Dollar Man's son is just so boring.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's. I was just about to say, he's the son of the Million Dollar Man, for God's sake. He was one of the guys that you wanted to see.
Yeah, like one of the great talkers, you know, and like, characters, and just super like megalomaniac, larger than life sort of characters. And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, and
he's
so
your son? What?
I just think this should have been the perfect recipe for success. Like, Orton treats them worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. They rise up against him to beat him, and they become bigger stars. But like, nope. In the end, it turned Orton babyface, and Rhodes and DiBiase just had to sort of basically start again. And I mean, Ted DiBiase Jr. just never recovered. Like we said, they ended up trying to give him the $1 million. Like, they gave him his old man belt to try and be like, look, he's just like Ted DiBiase. No, he isn't. Oh, look, he's got Maurice with him. She's hot. Don't you like him? No, there's nothing. Like, his career died just right there.
Well, so did Cody Rhodes, is really.
Yeah,
not hanging Cody. Cody's the best thing in the world at the moment, isn't it?
Yes.
The charisma with Ted DiBiase Jr. obviously skipped a generation.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
His mother must be boring as fuck. Like, it must. Like, yeah, I'm sure she's a nice lady, but maybe he takes after her. Maybe she's just like, yeah, just boring.
Yeah. Look, he can wrestle. Like, I remember seeing him, I can't remember what show it was, but wrestle in Melbourne, and you know, he can go in the ring, but that's not enough, especially when you're, and this is coming from someone who hates Randy Orton, when you're in the same ring and in the same group as Randy Orton, you know, who is one of the biggest stars of this generation. Like, that's not enough.
Whoa, what did you just say, Stacey?
I'm not repeating that.
Did you just say that? Oh my God. Lucky we got it recorded.
I did. Look, it doesn't mean I like him.
No, that's true. Yeah, I know.
I still think he's shit and he's boring. But
I mean,
he's
very
popular.
You don't like
popular.
Hogan either, and yeah.
Don't get me started on Terry.
Good old Terry. I'm surprised he doesn't get a mention.
Yeah.
Well, he was only really in one faction, really, so...
He was in the Millionaires Club, wasn't he?
Yeah, but the Millionaires Club was cool because
That was actually
when it started, because at least it was like, oh, look at all these guys, like they're all together. That's awesome. Like, you know, but it didn't last. Actually, if you're gonna throw shit at a Hogan stable, there's Immortal from TNA. That was pretty shit.
Oh fuck yeah, throw that in there. Definitely. Shit out.
That wasn't great. So
no.
Yeah. But yeah, Immortal versus Fortune. Was it Fortune?
Fortune, yeah. It was that was the TNA version of the Four Horsemen, remember?
Yeah, yeah. Fortune.
Flair Styles, Beer Money.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I thought it was Fortune, but yeah.
Oh, my God.
But no, I had to go with the legacy because of the fact that it should have been basically like a lot of things in wrestling just repeat, you know, and it's a formulaic thing, like, well, this happens and that happens, you know. Really, it was going down that path of being the next evolution and creating the next star, and especially the fact that Randy Orton came from Evolution and he was in that rookie position and, you know, rose up against the established guy and this sort of thing. So now he is the established guy. So the story is there and the continuity and that kind of thing. And then, but nobody wanted to cheer for those other two losers over Randy Orton, and it turned him babyface. And it's just like, fuck, What a complete...
And Randy wasn't doing anything wrong in that feud either. He was doing everything he had to do. It's just
it's not like he was the cool heel. Yeah. Like, he was acting like a piece of shit, and he was this awful character, and he was doing all the awful things. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, but he's so cool. It was just, he's awful. I want to boo him, but these other guys just suck. So I think the way that everything about that faction and the storyline and the result should have been the exact opposite. And just because they fucked it up so bad and it didn't create any big stars, and it turned your one of your number one heels into one of your number one baby faces, and just would have ruined a whole bunch of other storylines then, because now you can't put heel Orton against heel baby face whoever. I had to put them on my list just for that. Just the faction itself probably isn't one of the worst ever, because while they were together, it was okay. But just the what, everything about it ended up the opposite of what it should have done. So, yeah.
Look, I think the Legacy's biggest demographic was actually teenage girls, because I was on the internet at that time, and let me tell you, teenage girls absolutely frothed those guys. And it wasn't for their wrestling skill.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, man, I thought it would have been.
She's like, I hear his dad's cool. I hear he's got $1 million. Oh, no? Right.
Yep. Just remember, Legacy started with one of the Samoan, didn't it too?
Snooker's son, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah, but he quickly got out because apparently he didn't have the right look.
Because
he was fat and he was Samoan.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, those three look like I said, when they were actually the faction and they were having, you know, six-man tags and this kind of stuff, like, they put on great matches, and like, DiBiase and Rhodes, like, they worked really well as Orton's underlings, and like, you know, they help you win matches and that kind of stuff. So like, it worked really well. But just the fact that like the end game was, I would be shocked if that's what they thought was going to happen. Like, you know, this is a way to put Randy over. It's like, no, they would have been looking at it as like Evolution 0.2. Like, it's just that Randy was in the Triple H role.
Yeah.
And they were in Randy's old role, like Randy and Batista. But like, the two of them aren't a pinch of shit compared to Randy Orton and Batista. So,
yeah, if anything, Randy was there to elevate Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, that's right. For sure. And he ended up getting the rub out of it.
they didn't
do anything. So, well, not what they should have, at least. Like, Cody Rhodes, I don't like him, but he does have a lot of talent. But I thought, like I said, that the gimmick he had where he was supposedly disfigured and it was kind of like a Doctor Doom thing, and, you know, he's wearing the mask plastic and handing out the bags to people and that. I thought that was awesome. Like, that's, to me, that's the best he's ever been. Like, I thought that whole thing was great.
He's pretty good in AEW, you know. I had to say.
Even Stardust, like, it wasn't a good idea, but he did it well. Like, to his credit,
it fit well with Goldust, didn't it?
They handed him this garbage gimmick, and he did it to the best that anyone was ever going to do it. So that's fine. Oh. But I mean, Christ, the guy thinks he's fucking bigger draw than Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it's just
and there's another faction there that he was a part of that we could easily have on him too. Cosmic Wasteland.
Yeah, I looked at them for this list, and then I was like, they weren't really around long enough. But that was garbage too. So, but I almost feel bad for him with that, with the Stardust stuff, because like, they made him be Stardust. So
yeah,
I can't really give him shit for that. You know what I mean? And like I said, he still put on some entertaining matches and stuff with him and Goldust, and that was pretty decent, considering that, like, really the whole idea of Stardust was stupid. So, but just like I said, Rhodes in general, and to me, this is, I think, where it may have started, where he might have thought that this is going to make him a big star, and then it didn't, and he became, you know, that's when he started thinking, well, like, no, I should be main eventing WrestleMania because I'm the best. So
definitely you should be. That's why he did. Oh no, hang on, he didn't do it, did he?
Yeah,
that's right.
But anyway, Our third and final pick from you, Steve, considering you doubled up with X Factor, what else have you got to round out?
I'm going back to WCW circa 2000, I think it was. Everyone remembers Ahmed Johnson. Well, he went away for a while and he came back as Big T in WCW. And he was very big. I think he was a bit overweight at the time, but he was supposedly a friend of Stevie Ray's from his childhood. Stevie Ray was feuding with Booker T at the time. And they decided to call themselves Harlem Heat 2000.
Yeah.
The kicker was the only feud they ever had was with Booker T. And it was over the fucking T in Booker T's name because Ahmed Johnson was known as Big T. And right. He didn't want Booker T to use the T in his name. It's just another what the fuck moment. It's another one of those things where WCW, towards the end of their life, they've just gone, yep, let's run with that. That sounds like a good idea. No, it doesn't.
I remember there was a period there where they did the angle where Booker T lost the T and he was just Booker. He was just Booker for a while, and they're like, he's not Booker T anymore, he's just Booker, he can't use the T. It's like, what the fuck?
He lost a fake wrestling match.
It's not his real name. Well, my Booker is, but like,
but the T doesn't
stand for nothing. Yeah, that's right. No.
I don't know if everyone knew who Ahmed Johnson was when he came to WCW. I'm sure they did, but he was just so sloppy and he was sloppy in the WWF, but put another 100 pounds on him and he's just.
But he looked awful. Yeah, like he looked $1 million in WWF. And then he turned up and he was like Black Bam Bam Bigelow, pretty much. But Bam Bam could still go. Like he was a good worker, even though he was a big dude. So and I mean Stevie Ray was already the weak link. Like he was already the Marty Jannetty of Harlem Heat. It wasn't great. I remember that, it wasn't great.
Oh, it's awful. Once again, was it as bad as X Factor? Probably not, but it's definitely up there with it.
Yeah.
Did you see that, Stacey, at all?
No, I didn't. No. And I was just going to say, you guys aren't putting up a good argument that I should go back and revisit some WCW.
Oh, 97-98. Definitely 96, 97, 98, some are 99, but don't worry about 2000, 2001.
If you can pry your eyes away from the Yeti, then maybe, there might be room to give some of those Legacy.
Or if you want to keep looking at Legacy, go for that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, teenage Stacey.
Oh, God.
There's some very good, they're not very good, they're very shit. There's a very good, very good choices for very bad stables. Obviously.
I just can't believe how many bad stables there were. Honestly,
there was a lot.
For every good stable, there's five bad stables. It's just crazy.
And some of them, like, I didn't pick because they were around for like 3 weeks. You know, it was just like, But I mean, going all the way back to WCW, I had the Misfits in Action, which was just, a good idea done really poorly. The No Limit Soldiers, again, technically a good idea, and it had success in the past for Bischoff, but this one, not so much. And, of course, I went for Legacy, as we discussed. Steve, you went with the Union because that was just odd. The Core, which was the weak version of the Nexus, so what was the point of that? We just spoke about Harlem Heat 2000, like you said, Ahmed Johnson not at his best. And Stacey, you went with the Mean Street Posse, which again, I'm not convinced there isn't some sort of connection there with your other pick, the Spirit Squad. It's a Venn diagram there somewhere.
The connection begins and ends with McMahon.
That's right. And of course, it would not be a show about awful factions without X Factor. So the heavyweight champion of terrible factions and terrible music, X Factor. It's not just a terrible Simon Cowell show. It's also a terrible wrestling fan. But that will do it for us for episode 18 of 83. But before we get out of here, please follow us on Twitter. I'm at GregT13, Stacey is at Little Sherby, and Steve is at Stinger57. You can follow our show at Aussie Top 3. And as always, all roads lead to at The Steel Cage, where you can hear a whole bunch of great podcasts and one terrible one. But this has been episode 18 of Aussie Top 3. And until next time, we'll see you next time.
Yo, you dealing with the X Factor.
I got everything I ever wanted, and I'll never get that back. Yo. Oh, I know you hate the X Factor, but you ain't gotta look at me like that. I said you ain't gotta look at me like that.
What you know?